On this episode of China Unscripted, China's crackdown on pornography targets Christians. A national law bans uncivilized behavior and the wizarding world of China. Hi, welcome to China Unscripted. I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Zhang.
And I'm Matt Ganesda.
Well, in China, there's a new crackdown on pornography. And you know who that means the Communist Party is targeting?
Pornographers.
Christians. Doesn't that make sense?
What's the story, Chris?
Well, so there's a campaign to eradicate pornography and illegal publications. And so it's that illegal publications part that is allowing the Communist Party to go after non-state approved Bibles.
Wait, does that mean pornography is not illegal?
Well, I think it must be.
No, pornography has already been illegal, but it sounds like this is a campaign that is now roping more things under that umbrella.
And also they have failed to eradicate pornography, so they need to strike hard at getting rid of it. And as well.
And the Christian. Well, but the state-approved stuff is okay. It's only they're going after the uncensored Bible with all 10 commandments.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Where Adam and Eve are, like, totes naked at the beginning.
Wait, I thought I was going to say, is the uncensored Bible, like, the stuff that has, like, the Coptic Gospels?
Are you talking about Gnostic mysticism,
yes.
Shelley? I will not have that on this show.
Yeah,
I refuse to endorse heresy.
A clean family show here, Shelley.
Well, okay, yeah.
Get your mind out of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
So according to the website Bitter Winter, that kind of focuses on persecution of Christians and religion in China, a branch of the Protestant Three Self Church. I really wanted to say Three Self-Help Church.
Isn't it the Three Self Patriotic Church, I think it's sometimes translated as, right?
Maybe. The Bitter Winter said Three Self Church. It's in the Liaoning province. They were fined basically $1,400 because it was discovered they had South Korean versions of the Bible. And that's apparently not okay.
What's in the South Korean Bible that's not in the Chinese Bible?
That's a very good question, but I can let you know one is full of illicit
references
stuff.
To God.
Yeah, and so also.
Well, I mean, wasn't there the like that one city or was it a province that removed the first commandment? Right, the I am the Lord thy God; you shall have no other gods before me. Right, like that was removed because it was considered problematic for the Communist Party.
Right. That's the one that seems optional out of the commandments, right?
The first one. I mean, if you put it at the top, it can't be that important, right?
Right. You want to, like, build up to...
Yeah.
Okay. I actually don't know
I can't think, what's
the order
tenth,
of all the ten commandments.
It's the tenth one.
All right.
COVID
Catholic school. 7 years of Catholic school education. Let's go. The first one is about the God, no God before me. Second one is, I think, keep holy the Sabbath, perhaps. Because I know it's like the first ones are about your relationship with God. Then it's your relationship with others. So third commandment is that thou shalt not murder. Steal, adultery, covet neighbor's goods. I'm off.
You're already way
I'm
off.
I'm way off.
Wow.
This is why I should have been reading the Chinese state approved Bible. It would have been much easier to remember the one single commandment. Honor Xi Jinping.
They really should have gotten rid of the second one, which is...
There's more than one version of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, there's more than one version of the order.
What?
Well, I am the Lord thy God is sometimes its own one, and sometimes it's mixed with you shall have no other gods before me, but sometimes that second part is the second commandment, right? Like, depending on the version.
I don't know about that.
I think also I was just looking this up, and there's some versions that say that you shall make no idols one is the second one, and then some that say you shall not take the Lord's name in vain
Is that okay? That wait. I need clarification on that because I don't take the Lord's name in vain, but I have loads of idols. So which is it, Shelley?
I don't know. This is why I'm.
We need one state approved Bible.
And one state approved idol, or at least boy band of idols.
What was that? There's like a patriotic boy band in China.
Oh gosh, I'm not surprised.
But at any rate, so the crackdown on Christians.
Well, so it's funny, like at this one church in Henan province.
A lot of churches in Henan.
Yeah. It's
one of the most Christian provinces.
Is it wrong to call it the Mecca of Christianity in China?
I thought Zhejiang province would be more the Mecca. And Henan would be like the Medina, maybe? Nobody says that.
Anyway, so at this church, they force them to display these banners and panels promoting this campaign to eradicate pornography and illegal publications. And so you had people going into church, and there's these giant, red and yellow signs that said, "Eradicate pornography and illegal publications."
That's not the weirdest thing they do in churches now. Do you know there's this whole, I think it's not part of this campaign, but there's also like a move to kind of to make churches more secular. Mm-hmm. So I think Bitterwinter had this video of like it's a church and it's like they're forcing them to use it as a general kind of like community rec center kind of thing. So there's a church and a big cross hanging in the background of like some kind of play or musical about Red Guards going on in front of it. So it's, or it might not be the Red Guards. It might have been like the People's Liberation Army. They're wearing like the blue uniforms and marching around with like bayonets and like singing about the party with like the red flags and stuff like that. And like behind it is a giant cross.
It's a very interesting comment about keeping a certain space holy. And when you break that down, then like you maybe break down the content, because I was thinking about like when we were in Hong Kong in July and we went to interview Cardinal Zen of the Catholic Church, like originally we'd wanted to set up in the chapel because it had better lighting and better background. And then Cardinal Zen, like we were like halfway through setting up and he's like, he came into the room and he was very polite and he said, "Is this going to be only an interview only about church doctrine?" And we said, "No, we're going to ask you about a range of issues, including the persecution of Christians in China." He said, "Okay, well, this is like a sacred room, so we can't do an interview in the chapel about non-church issues. So let's go into a different room," which we did.
Well, it's interesting you point that out because some of the secularization of churches is not just like specifically communist propaganda in the churches. It's also things like, we're going to do folk dances in the churches, or like karaoke, folk dance singing.
Just kind of trying to erode the sense of this being a sacred space.
Yes.
I mean, I can really appreciate that. Like, the room I devote to my idols, it's just for the idols.
And that's amazing. And since you have such a tiny apartment,
I know, but it's even a New York apartment, it demands, blood for the blood god. I really hope the police don't come by my apartment now. There's lots of places to get blood that's not people. Guys, come on.
This is suddenly a very Halloween-themed show.
Oh, speaking of Halloween, don't you have a spooky story about everyone's favorite underage wizard?
Oh, I did not know where you were going with this. So we did a story a few months ago about how Bibles were getting caught up in the trade war. Now, Harry Potter is also being caught up in the trade war because Bloomsbury, the publisher, prints books in China. So books that are being hit with a 15% tariff.
I mean, you're just talking about the English books being physically printed by printing presses in China.
Yes.
So this is going to make it harder for the next generation to enjoy Harry Potter.
I think I know a way around that.
What, Shelley?
They should just download them from the internet.
Oh, what a great idea.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Definitely worked for me.
But I mean, it does also the tariff on importing books printed in China could potentially go towards solving another problem, which is that when you print books in China, especially the last couple of years, there's been an increasing push by the Chinese printing presses themselves to demand censorship of content before they will do the physical printing. But it also turns out that like some of the highest quality and low cost printing presses in the world are in China. So a lot of companies have been, you know, gradually moving their printing there. But
and we hadn't really noticed for many years, right? And,
right. Yeah. But then it, you know, I think
you start noticing maps with the 9-line on it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what if we see like Harry Potter and the campaign to eradicate pornography and illegal publications?
I like it. Or, you know, why don't they talk about the Chinese wizards?
Who the Chinese wizards?
The Chinese wizards would be so state-backed and like in support of the party. Is it like that would be the real enemy, not Voldemort.
Is it like when they had like a Chinese Superman and you're saying they should have a Chinese Harry Potter?
No, I think just like what is happening in the wizarding world in China in the same universe as Harry Potter? I think that would be very interesting to explore fan fiction.
Oh, in fan fiction. Okay. I was going to say J.K. Rowling got in trouble kind of for, because she started expanding her world to like America and things
in Notorious Beasts and
there was something. Like, you know, she tried to like tie the history of magic in America to like the Native Americans and
oh,
stuff
really?
Like that. There was some kind of controversy. I forget now.
Is it as much of a controversy as when she said Hogwarts didn't used to have bathrooms? They just made their little poo-poos in a corner and used magic to make them disappear. That's a real thing. She actually said that.
Did we talk about this before?
I don't know. I don't care. And we're saying it again because it's incredible.
Like, they just like it.
I accidentally read an erotic Harry Potter fan fiction without knowing, but the author made that little contribution to the universe.
I mean,
and I'm the crazy one.
No, that's the real thing that J.K. Rowling actually said, that they used to just like go in the corner and then disappear their
business.
but doesn't she, as the author and creator of this world, have the right to like create the rules how she wants?
Yeah, she does.
Hey, that's what Lucas tried to do with midichlorians, and like you see how that went. People weren't happy.
Disney bought him, like, the Star Wars franchise for him for billions of dollars or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It was like $4 billion or some stupidly large amount of money.
I think a billion. But yeah, you don't hear much about midichlorians anymore.
Huh.
Anyways, what do you think the wizards in China are doing in the context of the Harry Potter universe?
There's probably lots of dragons.
Like, with the massive amount of, good point. Oh, yeah, they'd have their own kind of Chinese-centric mythical beasts, the Qilin and stuff. But with the kind of massive surveillance they have in China, don't you think the Communist Party would be aware of the existence of wizards?
But the British government is aware. Like, isn't there
The British government is kind of like, okay, like, they'll just let them do their own thing. I can't imagine the Communist Party doing that. Unless the Communist Party is run by dark wizards.
No, I was going to say, what about the three self-patriotic wizarding schools?
Oh, you mean like the... Wait, now I'm... Are you saying that like the wizards would also have to go through patriotic education the same way that like muggles in China have to go through patriotic education?
Yes, probably.
Huh.
And if you belong to one of those like, you know, underground wizarding groups, you'd be persecuted and sent to a concentration camp in Xinjiang.
I don't know.
I think that would make sense. They could just teleport you there. That would be, you know, go through one of the, like,
well, this is
why the toilet or something.
The Communist Party would need to have dark wizards of its own, because they wouldn't tolerate the existence of this magical group of separatists.
Magical separatists.
Yeah, magical separatists.
So are you saying the, like, dark wizards would have to be, like, in the Politburo?
That's what I think. I think the only way that like those two worlds can coexist is if the evil wizards were actually controlling the government. And that would make a lot of sense historically, why they were so, the Communist Party was so evil. They actually are practicing dark magics.
So in this,
that would explain like Jiang Zemin looking like a 95-year-old walking corpse,
or a toad. He is actually a toad that has been magically transformed into the shape of a human.
That makes sense.
This theory is pretty good.
Yeah.
You have something to add, Shelley?
No, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this. Are you saying that Xi Jinping is a dark wizard too?
Possibly.
But Jiang Zemin is a toad, so they don't have to.
Well, it could be homunculi.
Well, actually, Xi Jinping is actually a magical yellow bear.
And then he could just conjure up as much honey as he wants.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. He talks and kind of acts like a person.
Wait, now we're in a Disney, like, 100-acre woods, yeah, Harry Potter crossover.
This is real fan fiction happening right now. And then Darkwing Duck shows up.
Oh, no. And then Sailor Moon. And
oh,
then
my God.
Inspector Gadget.
Oh, boy. Let's start shipping people now.
No, I don't want...
Or we can talk more about China and actual news.
I'm really afraid of who you would ship.
However, I want all of you listening to leave not just comments. I want you to write up a little something about the wizarding world of China. You can email it to us, or you can leave it in the comments below. But I want to see some things here.
Yeah, just like one idea of like what would exist in that world, right?
Yeah, this is exciting. Oh, almost as exciting as this next piece of news. Now, you know, you really can't beat news that is a politician promising to do something in the future. And so we have the exciting news that Marco Rubio, has vowed to introduce a bill to stop U.S. pensions investing in China.
This is specifically about U.S. government pensions, though.
Yes, government pension funds from investing in Chinese stocks.
So they could actually have some power over that versus, you know, just stopping any... Any old pension thing.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, there's power if, you know, the Senate committee accepts it and it gets voted on and passed and the House passes a bill. Like, it's a long and difficult process for how a bill becomes a law, as we know. But he's also in the stage of vowing to introduce it,
I vow to begin a long, drawn-out process that may or may not tackle an issue.
But he's in Congress. This is what they do.
Yeah.
No, I mean that's fine, and I think it's a legit concern that he has.
Oh yeah, it's a super important issue. Remember
when we had General Robert Spalding on the podcast earlier this year? It was one of our great podcasts, and he talked about the issue of like a huge number of pension funds, including things like state employees and like teachers and all these things, they've got like portions of their money are tied up in Chinese enterprises, even things like through, you know, several different connections, like, you know, your pension money would be linked, you know, invested in a Chinese index, which tracks a Chinese company, which is handling construction for military bases in the South China Sea.
And that is the big concern of this. Like according to some of these lawmakers who are involved in it, they're saying that some of these government pension funds end up going to assist the Chinese military and other espionage activities, possibly even human rights abuses.
And it makes sense because it's once your money goes to a Chinese...
It doesn't make sense, Matt.
It makes renminbi. The lines get very blurry when you do
investing. Well, it's because
investing.
Chinese companies are very, what's the opposite of transparent?
Opaque.
Yeah, so they're...
Opaque.
Okay. They're extremely opaque. So, yeah, there's... And all the stuff with the dual-use technology and things like that, there's so much that... You know, oh, we are investing in a facial recognition company.
Uyghurs. Oh, that is something I wanted.
You've mispronounced that word, Chris. It's not Uyghurs.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite comment that we got on a video last week, which was somebody saying with such confidence, You got Uyghurs. You guys, it's pronounced Uyghurs.
Yeah, the persecution of the Uyghurs is really out of control. This is actually something I wanted to mention earlier. Like, you know, you do hear a lot of news about the concentration camps for Uyghurs or organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners, and sometimes you do miss out on it doesn't really make headlines, but like there is a massive persecution of Christians going on in China right now that is ramping up.
Yes, although I think it's not quite to the level of what's happened to the Uyghurs or the Falun Gong.
No, yeah. That is true, but you know they're still being pretty heavily targeted.
Yeah,
but there's also the number of Christians in China is
smaller.
Right. Smaller? Is it smaller than Falun Gong and Uyghurs? I don't think so.
There's a huge number of Christians in China.
In the tens of millions, but a lot of them are belonging to either the state-run Protestant church or the state-run Catholic church.
I was talking to somebody about the Chinese state-run churches, and she was saying that she had tried to go to one, like a Protestant church in China.
Is the person you're talking about like a Caucasian American or a Chinese person?
No, like a Chinese person who decided to go check out a Protestant church and said it was like a weird, because they couldn't talk about a lot of Christian doctrine in a way. It was like, she found it just like a really bizarre experience. The way that they kind of ran the service and talked about religion, because it was almost like they couldn't say certain things about God. I'm being very vague now, but...
So like a redacted Bible reading.
Yeah, so, you know, you get some kind of like religion that's kind of like self-help, but like not... In a very, like, it's, like, very restricted. But then I started thinking about how Amway is very, very popular in China. And these Amway, like, these kind of multi-level marketing businesses. Mm-hmm. And I actually think it's because they're somewhat replacing the spiritual vacuum that's in China.
Multi-level marketing is replacing...
Because Amway...
It's filling the spiritual vacuum.
Multi-level marketing companies like Amway, they talk a lot about, like, self-help stuff. Like, it's very kind of, like, self-improvement oriented, and then, like, a lot of, like, you can do it, and, like... So it's like a community, and it's, like, you know...
Yeah, this is somewhat more, like, specific to Amway and not... In general, multi-level marketing?
Yeah, there's a lot of multi-level marketing companies in China.
Right, but a lot of them are like scams.
You
know, to the degree that there's this, you know, a spectrum of multi-level marketing, Amway is one of those that's kind of on that end of the spectrum where like they've been around for a long time. Yes, you know, people who, you know, do it can make a lot of money, but most of them don't. But like they're not like a... It's not a ripoff in the way that some are designed.
Ponzi
it's not
scheme.
A Ponzi scheme. I've never been involved in Amway, but like from what
I
know about it,
who was involved in Amway.
Oh yeah,
so
you told me about her.
She spent the whole time trying
to
get me.
She
spent like the whole year we lived together trying to get me involved in Amway.
Yeah, but I mean, like you know, as those companies go, like it's much better than like a lot of those Ponzi schemes that have popped up in China. I mean, and America and other countries. So
yeah. But I was just thinking about this whole like spiritual vacuum and how sometimes these like weird things come in to replace it.
Yeah, that is true. If only, you know, Xi Jinping thought for a new era could replace it.
I think it's well on its way.
You know, nothing fills a spiritual vacuum quite like a room full of idols. Let me just throw that out.
I mean,
there.
I have been in, you know, you've been in those like Chinese stores that have just kind of like the like weird, like random knickknacks and stuff like that, and they have, you know, in the back just like a bunch of porcelain like Buddha statues and stuff, and then like also all the Mao statues
and the Guang Gong. Are you accusing them of idolatry, Shelley?
Of Mao specifically.
No.
I mean, it is... Didn't we see something about a... Was this also on Bitter Winter where they were replacing, like, Buddha statues with Mao statues?
Oh, yeah. I think I heard something about that.
Yeah, it's very... like sometimes what happens in local areas in China is that, well, this is how policy is implemented in general, which was there's like a top-down campaign or whatever, or some kind of political campaign, and then they're just, however you implement it, it like it's not like organized and whatever. It's like the people on the bottom being like, all right, we have to follow this directive. How can we do it? And sometimes they just have really weird ideas.
Well, speaking of that, something like that has just happened again recently. State-run China Daily is reporting that there is now a new nationwide rule for the subways banning, quote, uncivilized behaviors on subways throughout China. I guess specifically that relates to like eating and drinking, standing on seats.
Why are you standing on seats?
And my favorite part about the subways, showtime!
Oh, I'm pretty sure there aren't breakdancers on Chinese subways. But you never know, I suppose.
It's one of those things where they've got a national law, but they don't have a national enforcement mechanism. And so, like, ultimately, subway regulation, like, probably ought to be left up to the local cities themselves.
But, like, this isn't, like, a regulation about subways. It's, like, subway behavior.
Yeah, but, like, there's no way for the national government to regulate subway behavior.
No. So maybe it'll damage your social credit score. And cities that have implemented that, right?
Right, but then it's also
since there's
be...
cameras everywhere filming you doing this uncivilized behavior like eating. I mean, actually, that makes historical sense in the context of the Chinese Communist Party. They've been very anti-Chinese people eating.
No.
Oh, it's a famine joke.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Well, that's going to be my last famine joke. You could say I'm famished.
No, that
worked in my mind. Fam finished.
Oh, fam. Okay. Anyway, so... this is like the toilet revolution, too.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like Xi Jinping has a toilet revolution where they're going to like modernize all the toilets in the country. And then you have some guy who decides that like some local cadre who decides that the right way to do this is to like build a gold toilet.
Yeah, with like a $10,000, I'm throwing that number out there, that might not be real, but a very expensive like room with like the gold toilet and air conditioning and a microwave. Yeah, a microwave, because you want to heat some food up while you're...
So one city in Shaanxi province is going to turn all the subway passengers to gold.
What? Oh, I got the leap. Because so if one place made a gold toilet... In one place will make gold passengers.
That's right.
That's right.
There was just like was a like, solid 10 seconds it would, of silence.
Also, it would kill them, so it would prevent them from uncivilized behavior.
And increase the wealth of the nation. Yeah, I was trying to think, like, is this like some King Midas reference for some reason?
It was a folktale deep cut.
That's a... the name of my new music album, Folktale Deep Cut.
Well, speaking of something else that will never actually happen, the vice commerce minister has said that, hey, you know what? China is not going to force technology transfers from foreign companies anymore. So, you know, great news, guys. That was like a big part of the trade war, and now we can just, take them at their word. They're not going to do that anymore. The vice commerce minister also said they're going to create like an equal playing field for foreign and domestic firms.
Actually, what I found the most interesting about this is saying that he said that they are going to eliminate restrictions on foreign investments that aren't included in certain like lists. So they're saying that more foreign investment is welcome in China.
Right after they announced the lowest GDP
growth
in 27
years.
Well,
it's the lowest GDP growth.
No.
Okay. But I think what's interesting about this is that when you interviewed Christopher Balding, you guys were talking about, and I think we had done an episode about this too, like China's dollar-denominated debts.
Mm-hmm. He talked about that when he was on the podcast, actually. Yeah.
But the idea is that they need money they need U.S. dollars.
They need, like, cash flow.
Yes, cash flow.
Because they borrowed... A lot of Chinese companies realized that it'd be cheaper to borrow American money because the Fed had kept interest rates so low than it would be to borrow Chinese money. And so they're like, oh, well, let's just borrow a bunch of American money for our business. And there are ways, that mechanisms to do that. And now they're stuck with all this debt that has to be repaid in U.S. dollars. That was a problem. When we interviewed Christopher Balding, it was right after the yuan had been devalued. So it got weaker, which meant that it was became suddenly like way more expensive for those companies to
pay back,
to pay back those dollar denominated loans. Yeah.
But what I think is interesting is that even though it says some things about foreign firms, it seems to be very focused on welcoming foreign investment.
Right. Well, hey, yeah. I know a quick way the Communist Party can make money. Turn subway passengers to gold.
Hey, I came up with that idea first, Chris.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, it's almost like they're saying, okay, so I know, you know, so we're going to give you a level playing field now, and we're not going to steal your technology now. But it's almost like this tacit admission of like, so yeah, we promised this before, and we lied to you, and promised it again, and then we lied to you again. But this time, we're going to do it. We're not lying to you this time.
Well, that's kind of the problem of, like, these news stories reporting on, like, oh, some high official in China said this. Because if you just look at that, it seems like, oh, China is reforming. When if you act like you shouldn't be taking them at their words, because they violate their words constantly.
So the headline should really be China's new vice commerce minister tells another lie to welcome foreign investors.
Well, you can't really say that.
Why not, Shelley? What is truth?
Okay.
Pontius
you,
Pilate to Jesus.
Well, I was going to say that, like... Well, you do make a good point, Chris, in terms of the way the media covers it, because a lot of times something is... when something is probably a lie, as a reporter, like, you really are discouraged from writing it this way, like, especially to have a headline like, you know, China welcomes more foreign investment, comma, but it's probably a lie.
Well, I mean, I do think that welcoming more foreign investment is the truth, though. Like,
no, they what they want is more foreign money. Yes. But they don't want foreigners and foreign companies to have a bigger stake in China's economy.
Yeah, no, that's why a lot of this is investment, not foreign companies.
Yeah, and they're going to open up certain, like, securities and such to foreign investment.
Well, so the headline could read, so this is the headline, China to ease foreign investment curbs won't force tech transfers, vice minister, and should have there, parentheses, his pants were on fire, close parentheses.
That's a little long, though, you know, for...
Well, I mean, saying it out loud, but reading, you know, writing for paper is a different medium than television.
You'll never
Shelley.
Believe what the vice commerce minister said.
One trick to finding out what he really means.
We're really good at this, guys.
Yeah, no, but I mean, this is the value of China Unscripted and China Uncensored, which is, you know, when they're probably lying, we just say... They're probably lying.
Are you okay with that, Shelley?
I'm okay with saying probably. We don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is the thing. Like, you don't know. Like, you know for sure what he said. So there's a fact there, because the fact is he said this. But then the lie becomes more difficult to point out. And it's also sometimes not obvious for a long time. And sometimes things that are technically true can still be pretty much lies, even though they're technically true.
I'm just going to call him a liar. You heard it here. China Unscripted. That guy's lying.
And your trial date is set for.
This is why I don't go to China. Well, so let's look at Hong Kong.
So Joshua Wong, activist Joshua Wong, had been trying to run for the district council elections, which are coming up in November. And guess what?
What? They
He got the full support of the Hong Kong government?
Well, he, out of all of the people running in district council elections, Joshua Wong was the only one to get denied. He's not allowed to run.
But that's because he's a dangerous criminal, right? No, Who's been in and out of jail?
It's not because he was in jail. It's because they decided that Demasisto, the political party that he belongs to, advocates for self-determination, which is autonomy, which is not the same thing as independence. It's just Hong Kongers should be able to decide, you know, what their own government should be, etc. But they had the Hong Kong government determined that that is actually in violation of Hong Kong's constitution.
Oh, how about that? They're really upholding the rule of law.
You know, also, they'd use the same excuse to ban another Agnes Chow from running from another election. She was also from Demasisto. So this is why people are protesting in the streets. Like, this is just like a textbook example of people who are like, oh, well, why don't you, you know, vote in your representatives? Like,
because they're blocking the opposition from running.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, up till, you know, even more than 6 years ago, people were not being disqualified from running if they were pro-democracy, but now they are.
Yeah, it's become so transparent what's happening in Hong Kong, which, you know, what's happening in Hong Kong can be a little complicated to explain. I've had a lot of challenges doing it. Fortunately, I know somebody who explained Hong Kong in a way everyone can understand.
You? And we can play that, Chris?
Well, no, we can play this clip.
What clip?
Of PewDiePie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The next meme needs a little bit of context. It's the whole dispute with the Hong Kong and China. For those of you who don't know, Hong Kong is a semi-autonomous state from China. It has its own law system or jurisdiction. Then out of nowhere, someone from NBA tweets something saying, I support Hong Kong. And then NBA is like, oh God, we need Chinese money. China is like that one person on Twitter that can't take any criticism.
So that was PewDiePie, the biggest YouTuber in the world, telling more people about Hong Kong than we probably ever will.
Chris, this is why you should have started a Let's Play channel 7 years ago.
I think that's what the conclusion is.
Yeah, so we just get in a time machine,
mm-hmm,
and go back 7 years. Start an alternate timeline.
You know what? Now, I'm just saying, I know a guy. It's not me, but I know a guy who has a room full of idols, and one of them is the time god. And if we make the right sacrifices at the right dates, with the right phases of the moon, maybe.
If we went back 7 years, that's what you would do?
What else would I do?
I don't know, but it seems like there could be other changes to be made.
Like what? 2012, what would I change? I would tell people the world does not end.
That'd be mostly accurate.
That would be mostly accurate. I mean, if I were to go back in time, the only thing I would say is, guys, China is trying to take over the world. They're infiltrating Hollywood. I'd be saying all the things that I said.
I think
just wait 5 years and then everyone else will be talking
about
it.
Actually, what
too.
You should do is just bet on sports teams.
But I haven't been following that. I would need to first get that information before the sacrifices.
Imagine if there were some
sort of, oh my God, you'd
like
have to do some research.
Well,
yes,
wouldn't it be a trip if we open up like the book of winnings and like it's like we see all my name all the way down? Whoa!
It already happened. It was meant to happen. I do like time travel stories.
But then why do you still live in a small apartment in Queens?
Well, because I wouldn't have actually access to that money till I returned to the present.
Oh right, no, that makes sense.
So
too.
Is this like Avengers time travel or Back to the Future time travel?
I'm mad more Back to the Future.
Okay.
However, I think if I did see that, I would probably not go back in time and force a time paradox and destroy the universe.
Better not to destroy the universe.
Why? I mean, if you had that power. Balance, Matt. Everything could be balanced.
If only you destroyed half the universe.
No, all of it. Like, the scale will obviously be balanced if there's nothing on it. Right?
Wow, that is true in its evil genius.
So you basically got to where Thanos ended up.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's your first step.
That was my first step, which is, which really, that's why, speaking of horrible autocratic leaders, there's some talk that Carrie Lam might be replaced, at least according to a Financial Times foreign policy.
Financial Times article that, you know, cited anonymous sources.
I love those.
In Beijing. So who knows?
I mean, I think it's about time they replace her with, you know, someone more sympathetic to human needs, such as a robot.
Or a, you know, a pit of spinning knives. You know, much more cuddly.
I hope I don't grow up to be Carrie Lam.
Why do you think you'll grow up to be Carrie Lam?
Oh, because, you know.
Do you imagine yourself like being a slave to Beijing and oppressing a city full of people?
No, just being a kind of like a cold, you know, person. Like, anyway. Right. No, no. Kind of a
hold on. We are getting deep into Shelley here. Let's explore this.
Oh, no. Just the, like, I just, you know how female politicians are sometimes just like portrayed as just like kind of cold witches, you know?
No.
No? Okay.
No, no, keep going. We're getting deep into
No,
your
I just
here.
Stopped because I didn't want to interfere with our rating on iTunes.
Yeah, no, no, but so when in your life did you first realize that you did not want to be like Carrie Lam?
When I realized I had the same pair of glasses that she did.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow, that's...
Gosh.
This got real?
This is real. Now I'm real.
Have you ever woken up and realized that you're in charge of a city of 7 million people?
She's not in charge of a city of 7 million people.
And neither are you. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But Shelley, you're beloved by the people of Hong Kong, whereas she is not.
I'm at least beloved by several more people in Hong Kong than she is, probably.
Yes. Any more than zero is more.
Yes,
because, like,
exactly.
Even her children aren't in Hong Kong right now, I don't think so. I don't know if anyone in Hong Kong loves her. Maybe that's what she needs. Maybe.
All you need is love.
Don't get us sued for copyright infringement.
Do we need a license for that? I'm a little worried now.
No, I was just saying those as words.
Chris, do you have to take any like copyright classes when you're getting
actually
your music
worked
composition?
In music licensing for
okay.
a time.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because you have a master's degree in classical
music
composition.
This was before I got that, actually. Yeah, we could be in trouble for that. So
let me just say that again without the song, okay?
That's okay. As I said, the appropriate sacrifices at the appropriate phases of the moon can solve most of your problems in life when done to the appropriate idol. An American Idol.
Oh.
It's Kelly Clarkson. We have fun together.
Oh, really? I thought of you more as a... No, I can't think of another American Idol winner.
She was the first.
There's
she was
one
the
called
best.
Philip Phillips, right?
Yeah, I think there was a Chris somebody.
Yeah, we're not good at this.
No.
I think you need to spend less time paying attention to China and more time watching American Idol.
Do you think the song of, you know, Miss Independent, you know, whatever happened to Miss Independent, is she talking about Carrie Lam?
No. No, I don't. Shelley?
Obviously.
Obviously she was, or?
Well, you know, Carrie Lam was obviously. When she was young, she was like a protester all this stuff. Yeah.
Very against the British colonial rule.
I don't know if it was specifically what the protest was, but I did see the photos of her like marching.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a bizarre, like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can at least give her credit for not coming full circle.
What does that mean?
Well, you draw the I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Well, I thought you had this type of theory that Carrie Lam was secretly for the protesters all along.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me of my theory.
It's like the fourth part of that meme of like universe brain or whatever, you know?
Oh, galactic brain.
Galactic brain?
Yeah, galaxy brain, yes.
Galaxy brain, there we go. Yeah. So the galaxy brain theory on
I just want to point out, we are now using memes to explain Hong Kong, just like PewDiePie. Carry on, Matt.
No, Chris, so what is galaxy brain theory on
The unenlightened brain would be Carrie Lam is an oppressor. The next one where there's like some light shining from the brain would be, I should actually make this, would be like Carrie Lam is a puppet of Beijing. The galactic one is...
I think you're missing one, but go on to the galactic one.
And the
one.
Final one is Carrie Lam is actually using this, is being so horrible to fuel protesters to undermine Beijing. I need to work on the language a bit.
So like the one is like Carrie Lam is... like instigating Hong Kong independence or something.
Yeah, right.
So
that's it.
Because had she not tried to push this extradition bill, then the entire world would be way less aware of how oppressive Beijing is over Hong Kong.
Yes.
Mm. Or even if they had withdrawn it, like after 2 million people came out onto the streets and protested it, instead of, you know, beating people up and firing tear gas and pepper spray at them for...
Yeah, no, it's
over 100 days.
I think it's a solid theory. I think we should meme it.
PewDiePie was right. Memes can explain everything. We must seize the memes of production.
Oh, boy.
And I think that concludes this episode of China Unscripted. Remember, I'm not joking about this. I want you to write up the Wizarding World of China. I want to be reading this in the comments.
Is this fan fiction, or you want like a Wikipedia of what, you know?
It's fan fiction.
Fan ideas of what.
Okay, but not like a narrative.
No, if somebody wants to write a narrative structure of this, I want to read it. I will read it.
We know you will read it.
Yes, yeah. write in the comments below, email it to chinauncensored@gmail.com or post it somewhere else. Let's make this a thing. Let's all together explore the wizarding world of China and how it relates to modern Chinese politics. This is going to be fire.
So lit.
Oh, God. Okay.
Thanks for listening. Once again, I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Zhang.
And I'm Matt Ganesda.
We'll talk to you next time.